16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Another day older and deeper in debt in the United States. Us, we got deeper in debt just a little bit ago when they raised the debt ceiling again. And debt, yeah, it's big and everybody talks about it, but what we don't talk about is the fact that debt raises your cost of living. It raises your taxes. It makes saving practically impossible. Do you have a lot of money saved? Good morning and welcome to Wealth Money Radio. It's August 10th, 2019. I'm Greg Soderbergh here with Byron Dale as usual. And again, if someone was not in debt, you could have no money in your checking account, savings account, cash, or coin. Because since they changed how money comes into circulation, every penny must be borrowed. Our collective debt can never be paid. It can only continue to grow with time, making life more and more difficult as time goes on. So let's do something about it. We want to do something about it. And I'd like you to call in now and share your thoughts. The numbers again is 347-884-9499. And so, Byron, what do you think about all that debt?
Well, I've been thinking about it quite a little bit because I stumbled across a letter from the Treasury, and it was a letter to a congressman to reply to a letter that I sent to the congressman, and they explained that, that the money was created this way, but the thing that gets me always wondering if the Treasury mints all the coins, and they do, and nobody else, it's not legal for anybody else to do it. And they also print all the currency, and they do. And it's also a violation of the law for anybody else to print currency. They call it counterfeiting, and they try to put you in jail if they find out you're doing it. But then if that's the case, then why, if the Treasury of the United States is minting all the coins and stamping all the currency, why would they need to raise the debt? Why didn't they just print some more currency? And it's amazing to me that nobody seems to ever ask that question.
Yeah, they're just always short and struggling over the shortage, but nobody asks the basic question, if we're going to have...
Another question, too, is... who's got enough money to loan the government that much money than everybody else? And how did they get that money? Because supposedly the only legal tender we have in this country is coins and currency. And if the currency is printed by the United States Treasury, why then would they sell that currency to anybody else for less than face value or change it? Why do they just give it to the banks for the cost of printing? And then, obviously, when they need more money, then they have to go to the banks. And they just did. Trump and all these boys and everybody else agreed they need to raise the debt ceiling. Well, why do they need to raise the debt ceiling to get more money when they're the only ones that can print it? Now, granted, we don't address in here the fact what they're printing is Fed Reserve notes, but... how would anybody in his right mind would stop and think about, well, if I'm just printing notes, well, how are them notes going to be paid? Because a financial note is always a promise to pay something. Well, if I'm just using their promise to pay, well, what are they going to actually pay it with someday? And nobody seems to ever ask that question. You never see it on TV. You never see it in any disputes, any when these people talking or anything else. You never hear anything about, like, asking those kind of questions ever.
Yeah.
And it just gets me, why wouldn't some people talk about that? And I think I know the answer, because I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was looking at my pictures when they beat me up bad. He was shocked, and then I explained why they did it, because I was getting a lot of attention and a lot of press on how the money's created. And then, boy, that, I tell you, he didn't leave the room, but he sure wanted to see the conversation stopped. So the only thing you can see is they're just scared to death to address that issue. It's just they don't know, but they're scared to talk about it for fear they might find out, and it might be something they don't want, and then they don't have the courage to stand up and do for what's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I get a kick out of it lately when we had these two shootings, one and one the other. And, of course, all the left guys, they're all saying what was Trump's fault, which he didn't have nothing to do with it, and I don't see where he'd had any gain by it. But now the Democrats, the liberal Democrats, the socialist Democrats, they have a lot to gain by stuff like that. Because, I mean, if somebody gets shot, then they have a real reason to go out and scream, we got to get rid of the guns. But guns don't kill anybody. They don't shoot anybody. It's people that do that. Now, they may use a gun as a weapon to do it, but it's not the gun itself. It's a problem. It's the moral value of the people that's a problem, and our founding fathers made that very clear, that our system is only going to work with a moral system. And if you see anybody that's totally immoral, it's the liberal Democrats. I mean, all you got to do is listen to them, and they're always talking about Waters. She's always saying, well, you guys got to get violent with these Trump supporters and things like that. Well, I don't hear Trump ever saying you need to get violent just because you don't like him. And this is the problem with things. And I just see Rule come on. So if it's okay with you, we'll bring him on, talk to him a little bit.
Okay.
Good morning, Rule. It's sure good to see you, talk to you this morning.
Yeah, I sent Greg a text this morning. Maybe he got it, maybe he didn't. But I don't know if any of you heard yesterday. I listened to Ted Nugent on the media for a little bit. Actually, he was on for a good half hour. And he made a pretty interesting statement. And getting back to the money situation, he made a statement yesterday, I think, that ties into virtually everything that pertains to our life as citizens of the Constitution. And he said there was a point in time when the American people understood they were the employer and the government was your employee. And somehow, he said, we have missed the mark and gotten to the point where we now believe we're employed by the government and they're running the show. And he said, what do you expect them to do when you let them be your employer, you get what you bargain for. And he said, they're going to make the laws, you know, and you think about it. It is true. We have dropped the ball constitutionally. We are supposed to be the employer and they are our employees, not the other way around.
Absolutely. They're supposed to work for us and, you know, and of course, I just run on to a definition of the Constitution and the democracy written by a government official down in Kansas. And he really laid it out. He said, you know, the republic is where the people are supposed to be in control. And they then vote for people who will represent them, because, you know, you can't have all the people down there in Washington saying exactly what we're going to do, you know, laws we want passed and not. So you got to get it cut down some. So they vote for them, but they're supposed to represent the people. And also, they're supposed to uphold the Constitution. And see, that's where it's really gone wrong, because now only crooked guys seem to ever run for office. You see it all the time. And then when they get into office, they very seldom ever do what they said they would do. And I went to hear a congressman one time, and when he saw me, the first thing he said, "We're not taking any questions at all today." Well, now, if you're going to represent somebody's what they're how they feel and what they believe in, how could you do that without asking any questions of what they actually believe and what they think should be done?
Exactly. When it comes down to the money issue, and we have bills of credit, which was never supposed to be, and, you know, they're telling us and running our lives as though we're not even employees. We're in involuntary servitude when it should be the government that's in servitude to us. They should actually be paying us for, you know, it's flip-flop. And
they should be paying us building them roads and bridges.
Yeah.
And just create the money like they do, print it, coins or you know, bookkeeping entries, and pay us for the work we do building these roads and bridges and create a lot of wealth and safe, state-of-the-art roads and bridges with solar and geothermal and create a lot of jobs and production for parts and pieces to do all this and maintain it and simply create the money and spend it and pay us just like you do when you go to work. You get your paycheck every week. You don't have to pay that back, do you? And that's the way your money system should be.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go on there a minute, because then he went into what a democracy was, and he says, well, that's where everybody votes counts. And he said what it really amounted to is like two wolves and a sheep sitting down and discussing what they're going to have for supper. Well, it's pretty obviously what they're going to have for supper, because the two wolves are going to vote to eat the sheep, and the sheep ain't going to have enough votes to stop it. And yet, that's one of the whole principles about the republic, is it's supposed to work out and make sure that it protects the minority, not just does everything the majority wants. And at the same time, you see it so clear every place that our whole legal system, our whole court system, our whole judge system have literally threw the Constitution out the window and don't give a rip about it. They believe they now are the rulers. They can make up the laws, they can enforce the laws, and there is no place in the Constitution you can see where they was given that power at all to create new laws or enforce laws of any kind. Only the Congress can create the laws, and only the president or the executive branch can enforce those laws. And those laws aren't supposed to be laws unless they're clearly constitutional. And when you leave that whole principle behind, now you get just exactly what we're getting now. In fact, if you really look at it and think about this, this whole thing is basically a war between the people who believe in the Constitution, and that it should be the supreme law of the land, and that should be the rules that we have to go by, not just the judges can do anything they want. And it's so clear that you can see that it's amazing how we really don't call it that. You know, they call it the right or the left, but it's really the constitutionalist against the people who want to destroy the Constitution. And that's what this really thing is all about right now. And, of course, the leftists, and pretty near all leftists are very, they're not people who believe in God. They're all people who don't believe there's any God. And they openly say that. Some of them swear, though, saying that one guy said, Jesus Christ, Trump shouldn't have done that. But Trump didn't do anything. This is what we're seeing. We're seeing this war between the people who want to have the Constitution run the country, you know, be the supreme law of the country, and the ones who believe that, well, if we can just vote enough crooked people in, we can get it run any way we want for our own personal profit. And that's what's really going on. People don't talk about it, but if you study it and think about it, it's very clear that's what's going on. Okay, go ahead, either one of you.
Well, we're talking about free people need to be a responsible people, and, you know, this week they had that Dayton shooting, and, of course, there's a lot of people pressing for what they call red flag laws, that if, you know, somebody that has guns or something like that, and for any reason, you know, they can go and confiscate his guns because someone said something about him and it sends up a red flag. But in that Dayton shooting, like a lot of the other ones, people now are telling their stories about they knew this person when he was in school, and the things he talked about, shooting people, and all the things he wanted to do and everything like that. And where was the red flags then? Where was the responsibility of those people that knew he was talking about these things? You know, maybe they should have a red flag law that if you knew that this person was talking about doing these things and you didn't say anything about it, maybe they should just throw you in jail. Instead of, you know, about guns, let's be responsible.
Well, the problem of it is, even if you do, and we heard it a long time, quite a lot of while back, because this one guy that shot up somebody, and they had been, the government and FBI and them guys had been told over and over again about they thought that guy was dangerous. And they went out and they interviewed him. And then they didn't do anything because they didn't see anything wrong. And it was clear they never paid any attention to what the people were saying. Well, see, that's the problem. And I personally believe that most of those guys are either hypnotized to go do it or paid to go do it because it's not logical. And, of course, you get back to the whole concept of if this country is going to be a real, true republic, it has to be a that has moral values. And that's one thing the left don't have is moral values. The people who want to get rid of the Constitution clearly do not have any moral values, or very, very few. And if you had moral values, then you wouldn't shoot people. It wouldn't make any difference what you would like. And that's the problem. And then, of course, you know, you always – Greg's written a book that I think is really well done about the military people, you know. They're supposed to uphold the Constitution and defend it, but yet they don't. They clearly don't. And it's strange that all our wars are fought overseas with other people, and it don't seem like the government or anybody else really pays any attention to what's going on in the United States. And frankly, all these lefties or anti-constitutional people always want to do something that's nasty. You just listen to them. I mean, I listen to them. I watch all three different kinds of channels on TV, and it comes down to the same thing. One people want to kind of see the law and order, and the other groups, they just want to see whatever they can do for basically get more people in the country so they can vote for not unconstitutional people-minded people rather than the others. If you just watch this stuff and see it, you see it all the time. And I guarantee you it's hard to believe that this many people would go out and shoot people just for the fun of it. And if they did, I can't believe that other people didn't know they were thinking about that. And if they turn it in, but if they turn it in and the police or the FBI or whoever don't pay any attention to it, and it's clear they don't, it's been proven over and over again, what good does that do anyway?
Well, it's just a trend in American society for people just want to be able to do whatever they want to do. They don't want to have any boundaries. They don't want to have to answer to anything. And, you know, that's the problem. And, you know, you have
and
to
how
have
did
a life.
How did we get that problem? Because I've been taught all my life, and I know for a fact it's true, if you raise up a child the way he should go, most of the time he stays that way. But you see it so often now, oh my God, it's terrible if you punish the kid for someone doing something wrong. Oh, no, no. You might be able to set him in the corner and make him look at the wall for a while, but, and I guarantee you, I've raised kids and I've broke a lot of horses and all kinds of things, and I guarantee you what works best is when they do something wrong, they get punished a little. And when they do something right, they get rewarded. And you'd be unbelievable how that affects it. I don't care if you're breaking a horse or you're raising children. Them facts are always true. If they do what you shouldn't be doing and you get a little bit of punishment, and then you do what you should be doing and you get rewarded for it, I guarantee you that affects their mind every time.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that the education has been handed over to government and others. The parents have given up their educational responsibility. You see it in the proliferation of preschool. You know, like you said, you used to start school when you went to kindergarten. Well, that ain't good enough anymore. Now you got to go to preschool so that you're ready for kindergarten. And, of course, that whole thing started when mom had to go to work because dad's paycheck wouldn't make ends meet anymore. And so we'd have these children, but we couldn't teach them anything because we had to go to work. So we handed it off to someone else. As a matter of fact, I was at a meeting one time. They had a representative there talking to the people. And one of the ladies asked him, when are you going to start teaching our children character? Now I thought, what in the hell, what duty does government have in the first place to educate? There's nothing in
I don't find any place in the Constitution that they was given any power to do that.
And where can you have the ability to produce children and have somebody else teach them character or teach them anything, as a matter of fact? Because by the time they go to kindergarten, they should pretty much have had a good education about the difference between right and wrong. At least.
And believe it or not, most kids automatically know that that's what it is. But they all want to test the borders to see if can I go just a little beyond that? And mm-hmm. if they find out really young they can't, then that's it. You know, you don't have any trouble with them. They get up when they get older. But I guarantee you, if you let them push them boundaries all the time and don't do it, then you've lost control. And when they get older, yep. then you have no way to control them at all.
And this is the
whole thing that people have forgot about, you know, and what you just said is true. Now, I have no problem about a woman having a job, but at the same token, when they're raising kids, they should be home raising their children. Because I guarantee you, my own personal experiences, when the child can go home when he's had a little trouble for one reason or another in school and goes able to go home and talk to his parents, and especially his mother, I guarantee you it makes all the difference in the world how that child grows up. And yeah. we've just pushed all that aside. And it's basically
and
for the same reason, because the whole monetary system is, if you think about it, is, you know, it has to be wrong. Because if one small group can create the money, you know they're going to create it for their own personal benefit. They're not going to create it for the benefit of other people.
And, you know, you're talking about them kids. If you let them grow up that way, without boundaries, then they turn into the adults. Like, oh, some people like to describe them as liberal, left, Democrat, socialist, or whatever. But there's those on the other side, too, that don't want to have any boundaries. But that's what you get. Then you get an adult society of basically children with no boundaries. And that's where we're at now. And that's where you get a society of people that, you know, they don't want to think about this money system and all the debt it's causing and high taxes and inability to save, hard to make ends meet. And they don't want to talk about it. And because nothing matters to them except their own, basically their own entertainment and security and pleasure. And, it's just like, some people have told me, well, yeah, Greg, I know the money system is bad, but it works for me. Hooray for me. You know, and to heck with everybody else. But again, you know, if we're going to create money and spend it into circulation, we need a general populace that believes in caring about other people and helping other people and having a more perfect union, because that's what we were supposed to be doing from the very beginning in this country, is forming a more perfect union. And you don't do that with a debt money system that pits the citizens against themselves in an ongoing impossible effort to resolve this debt situation. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, everybody talks about the debt. Oh, you got 22, 23 trillion in national debt. You got 50, 60 trillion in private debt. Everybody talks about, oh, how big the old debt's getting, you know. But they never think about, maybe that has something to do with your cost of living. Maybe that's why the candy bar that used to cost a dime costs a dollar, and it's half the size of the one you used to pay a dime for. Maybe that's why a gallon of gas is $2.50 versus it used to be 15 cents. Maybe that's why there's ongoing examples of what we pay for things. And maybe that's why, as it gets harder and harder for people to make ends meet, more and more don't make it. So guess what? They go to their congressman and ask for help. Congressman, he can't do anything unless he got some money. So what's he going to do? He's going to raise your taxes to create a social program to help those people that aren't making it. Now, if you didn't have all that debt and high cost of living, and people were able to save and have money without having to be in debt, you wouldn't have the taxes. You wouldn't have the high cost of living. You'd have a stable cost of living over long periods of time, and you'd be able to save money. And, you know, so if something happened in your life that's unexpected or something came up, you'd have the money. You wouldn't have to go to the bank and have them create it for you as an unpayable interest-bearing debt. So let's get our heads out of our rear end, and let's get a bill passed called the American Transportation Act. And it will simply have the Treasury create the money, just like banks create money. Somebody has to create it. But to pay for those roads and bridges, the workers, they got to get paid. And the materials to the job, concrete, steel, solar, goes on and on. Anyway, they bring it to the job and our pays them in lieu of taxes.
You're breaking up, Rick.
Okay, and the money goes into circulation with no debt. So I'm going to take a break because I could just go on and on.
Okay, Rule, what have you got to say on this point?
Well, I've always said, and people don't listen to me, and you have to bear with me a little bit here. I've always said, it's, you know, the Bible says in the last, you know, that people will become lovers of money. And we got to understand, money is an inanimate object. It can't speak. It can't respond. It can't love. It doesn't have any compassion. It has nothing. It's a dead entity until you use it. But the reality is, once a person changes over to loving and an object that can't do that, it warps your sense of who you are and what you're supposed to be. So I believe that the debt money system is exactly what our minds and who we've become. We have a deficit moral system. We have a deficit in everything because maybe not you and I don't know. But we have switched to loving something, or your society has, that has become their number one goal, is to capture something that can't respond, and it demoralizes who you are. But if we had a real monetary system, and that's why our minds are warped. We can't see the truth between a real monetary system and a fake monetary system because the mind has been changed, and once people understand that they're loving an inanimate object and a false object, and we get our heads back on and say, we're not going to tolerate this, we have to have a true monetary based system based on morality, based on production, based on truth. And you know, Trump and them are going around saying nothing. You know, our economy's never been better, which is a lie. Because if it was true, our local paper 2 days ago wouldn't have come out and said, "Well, we got to raise, you know, people's taxes again because we can't balance our budget." Well, you can't balance a budget that doesn't exist, that's based on falsehood. How do you do it? I mean, you try to tell people, these people with engineers, and they don't understand. And so people got to pull their heads out. That's all I can say. And they have to, for the sake of humanity and their children and everything, and realize they're fools. Everybody's playing a fool's game, I guess, is what I would say. Sorry.
I think that's true, and I think we're also seeing it in the churches, because when I was young, we'd go to church, and there'd be several churches in town, and, you know, and the people you kind of, you know, not everybody likes everybody else the same. You know, some people, they have friends, and you went to the smaller churches, and the preacher was there, and a lot of times he had a job, too, and you know, it was a real uniform thing and talking about the Bible, and the only thing they missed, they should have also been talking about the Constitution a lot, too. But nowadays, all you see is big churches wanting to get bigger. Man, they got to make a... They got to raise a lot of money to have a bigger church and a bigger church. And then pretty quick, you see the pastor, he's getting hit so big that he can drive or fly around in a helicopter or a ship or plane, big plane. And most of the people in the church couldn't even begin to think about doing something like that. So you see there, you know, that even the churches have basically gone to worship money, not to worship what we should be talking about. We should be talking about moral values and also constitutional rules. And that should be part of the church, too, because none of them want to touch that. But yet you can't have one without the other, because you can't live in the church. You can't make a living in the church. You got to be out there doing something else, and you got to have moral values in the whole society. And this is clearly what the left has got, or the anti-constitutionalists, I would say. Actually, that's what they want to have all the time, with no borders, no anything. They're just free, and they just want what they want and what's going to benefit them and some people who agree with them. So I'll turn it back to you, Greg.
Well, I heard a church on TV, and you know, they're appealing for money and everything, and they said, you know, give of that which has been given to you. And I thought, well, wait a minute, nobody give us anything. We had to borrow all this money before we could put it in the collection plate. And you know, this the whole principle of that. You know, those collection plates could be a lot more full if we just borrowed some more money and put some more in the collection plate. And because you can't do God's work without that, right? There's just no way to...
Well, but
the
problem with that is most people don't get the money even to borrow unless they can prove they're going to have some way to pay it back, which is mathematically impossible. Because years ago, my son went to economics college and get a degree in economics, and he said, and come home and he said, Dad, I just don't understand it. You say these things, but none of my professors have ever heard of anything like that, ever thought about anything like that. He says, how can you say, why do you think you're right? Because you're all alone, basically. And I said, well, son, it's pretty easy to see if I'm right or wrong. I want you to get up and walk over to the sink and fill up a glass of water, and when you get it full, then I want you to dump it into the sink, and I want you to dump a glass and a half out of that glass. And he said, Dad, you know that's impossible. Yes, I do. So that's how I know I'm right, because you can't borrow X number of dollars and pay back X plus Y number of dollars and make it work, because it's physically impossible to do that. And that you get on Facebook, and these people, they don't want to talk about this. And yes, they lot say, well, the Treasury prints the money, and I totally agree with that. But then you have to go a step long further and say, okay, after they print it, how did it get moved into circulation so you and I can use it? And the Treasury clearly says they have no way that they can give it directly to the people. They can only sell it to the banks, and so the banks can sell it to the people for the value, full value. I just read a letter from the Treasury, from the Federal Reserve to a congressman that, for an answer to a question that I wrote to congressman. And they said, well, yeah, they buy it, but even though they buy it for the cost of printing, they don't have a profit. But in that same letter down a few paragraphs down, they said, and then they sell to the bank, other banks, for the face value. Well, if that's not a profit, I don't know what is. If I can buy a thing 10 cents on the dollar and sell it for face value for a dollar or whatever, and that's just a number that's bigger, because we don't even have a statutory definition of the dollar anymore. And I asked a guy one time, and he gave me the 1790 Coin Act, but I guarantee you, and he agreed, that nobody paid any attention to that. Well, then, if you go to court and they fine you so many dollars, they should be able to find what the dollars are. And if I've asked them to do that in court, and gosh, they get mad because they can't. And then they're all frustrated and mad, and you're really an army son of a gun and a nasty man because you're making them address a question they can't answer. Well, if you're in a court of law, then they ought to be paying attention to the law. But they're not. I can assure you I've had a lot of experiences, and I guarantee you judges have no belief that they have to follow the law. They believe they can make the law. And I'll turn it back to Drew or Rule or Greg, whichever.
Well, and then as far as the judges making the law, then we go along with it and let them do it. And that's why it keeps going that way, and that's why things are so screwed up. But, like, I wanted to talk about the principles of putting money into circulation and how it applies to the American Transportation Act and fixing this problem that we have. If you go back as far back as you want to, what people have traded amongst themselves are those things which they produced. And even when people say, well, gold coins, okay, well, gold coins don't come out of the ground as gold coins. It comes out as a raw resource, and then someone has to dig it out or get it out, requiring labor. Then they have to form it into a coin, which they produce, and then they have to find somebody who wants that for what they have. Okay, so all money really is and should be is an evidence of our production. And even today, with the banks creating the numbers that they lend you, okay, they're actually producing something. And so, but the problem is when we were just trading what we produced, we didn't have to be in debt for that production. You can go out in your garden and produce a big garden full of fruits and veggies and stuff, and you can trade those to other people for what they've produced. And that's the way the money system should work. In 1792, they provided for that in America. People could bring raw resource to the mint, gold or silver raw resource, and have it stamped into coins free of charge. Okay, and we want to apply that principle to the roads and bridges, where we simply have the Treasury create the money to pay for those roads and bridges. It's a bidding. Everything's the same as we do it now, except we don't borrow the money to do it. We pay for it. And then you don't have to tax or borrow to build these roads and bridges. And we all need the roads and bridges, whether you want to go on a vacation or you just want to go for a country drive, or you got an emergency, ambulance has to come to your house, or your goods and services go up and down the road going here and there to deliver products, things that people have produced in your trucks, and you know, you go to work in your car, or you go on vacation. Everybody uses those roads and bridges 24/7 whenever they want to. And so you create the money that represents that production, and it represents the wealth of our nation, and the money comes into circulation with no debt based on production, and only when that production increases. That's how the law we've written, the American Transportation Act. The money is only created when it has to pay for those roads and bridges that have been done. And it's just like the principles of the 1792 Coinage Act, and it's just like the principles of trading our production. And we don't need to be in debt to do that. And, you know, we'll eventually, as we do this process, the banks will slowly stop creating any money. Nobody will be able to create any money as debt. And then over time, you'll have a surplus, and that will be in your savings, which you don't have now. I asked in the beginning of the show if you had money in savings, and nobody called and told me about how much money they had in savings. So, and in my lifetime, all I hear people talking about is that they can't save money. They can hardly make ends meet most of the time. So it's the principle, what the money should represent and how it comes into circulation. And with the bill is in legislative form. I think it has 15 short sections, and I think it is 6 pages. so it's easy to understand, and it's written in language that the average person, the bill was passed, could actually monitor and check to make sure that they're doing it according to the law. And so that's what needs to happen, and it's based on principles. You know, a tire doesn't work because it's made out of rubber. A tire works because it's round. And no matter what you make that tire out of, if you change its shape to a triangle, an octagon, a square, what have you, anything but a circle, that tire ain't going to work very good. And that's exactly with your money system, too. If you change a principle, and that principle was changed from what we owned to what we owe, from freedom to servitude, and we want to get it back to the way it's supposed to be.
Go ahead, Rue, if you got anything to say.
Well, you know, there used to be laws against rigged gambling, rigged horse races, rigged anything, you know, rigged elections for that matter. And I don't know about you or the people listening, but I don't like participating in a rigged monetary system that you have no say in, and you can't predict your own future. You can't predict your wealth. You can't predict anything for that matter, except for that you're going to go further in debt. And boy, isn't that something to be proud about in a constitutional republic, supposedly, where it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. But if it's a rigged game, it's for the producers. And, you know, we shouldn't have to buy a product to exchange with one another. If I go to buy something, I do it by choice at the store, and I shouldn't have to exchange my time, talent, my creativity, my identity, who I am as a creative person, to exchange it for something that's worth less than my production. To me, that's an insult and unconscionable.
Well, I agree with you, and also if you think back, you know, we talk about the dollar, but, you know, back in that 1790 Coins Act, they also said that an eagle was gold money. So now you really, if you really look at that, even back then, they never really established what money really was. Did you have to, in order to have dollars, did you have to have silver ones? Or could you also use gold currency with a different name? And they never clarified that. I don't think there was ever a court case on that, or either they did anything with it. And so it shows that really it didn't make any difference what the money was. It was how it was used. And if it was spent into circulation, as Greg said, and, you know, if you brought in and you turned something into it, and actually that's all they did when you went out and got some gold or silver and took it in, and they weighed it and assayed and stamped it into coin, what they did is monetize something. Now, whether it was silver or whether it was gold, they never ever made a distinction there any place that I could ever read. But it's what they did was monetize something so new people would have a monetary system. And I think a monetary system is a great thing because it's so much easier. You know, I don't have to have a certain currency to drive from here to there. And if I get there, then all of a sudden my currency isn't good because that isn't the kind they're using. So you do have to have a uniform over the nation currency.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really trying to do. That's the whole purpose, that all currency would be the same. It wouldn't be, you wouldn't have to have gold or silver. And, of course, the truth of it is there's not enough of that. I did the math on that many, many times, and I guarantee you there's not enough gold in the world to use it a medium exchange. It just is physically not possible, and now they wouldn't even know how to go about it because the law, the written law, says gold is worth $42.22 an ounce. But you go into the market, well, they say it's worth over $1,200 an ounce. Well, both things can't be true. We know that for a fact. So we really don't even understand how they could do that. But see, this is the problem when you just put aside the actual rules or really define the actual rules in the way that benefits the entire society. And that's where our Congress and our whole legislature system has went off the deep end into no place. And you see it all the time. And they don't I got a letter the other day from a group in Minnesota, a legislative evaluation. And they first they said they come through there and they explained all these laws that was made as one big group. And then they said, well, that's unconstitutional in Minnesota. You can only pass laws one law at a time. It has to be on one subject. But there, especially this last year, said it was the worst they've ever seen. Pretty near all bills were turned over to two people to go talk to the governor and decide what it would be. And then they all come out as one big law, all of them tied together. And then at the very end, he said, now, which one you? I want you to show me which one I should use to evaluate. And I wrote and said, I said, I'm sorry, but that's the stupidest statement I ever heard in my life, because you just explained to me all these bills were unconstitutional. So why would you ask me which one you should evaluate? Why don't you get off your duff, and why don't you file a lawsuit against them for having unconstitutional laws? That I would contribute to. And, of course, everything you get, I don't care what it is, every group that is alive in this country that I know of, every time they write to you and want to talk to you and explain things to you, the first thing they want is more money. But they won't address the money. They won't address what it is or where it comes from or how it could be worked or nothing like that. And, see, that's where we've really, really missed it, because we failed to say, okay, if we're going to have a workable money system, we have to have one we can explain and show what people are, and it means the same thing in every place. And our government has never done that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you're talking about everybody wanting some money, and one economic argument for this debt money system is that it helps control the amount of money so there isn't too much, because if you get too much, then you have price inflation and the money becomes worth less. Well, first of all, your money becomes worth less in a debt money system every minute, every second, because interest can never be paid. Yeah, you think you pay interest on your loan and you got rid of it, but really you just transfer it to someone else, because the interest that you paid, the extra money, wouldn't be available unless someone else borrowed it and it was created as loan principal to them, and you got a piece of that. Now they're short, and when you pay back the bank, they extinguish loan principal, so you have a constant and growing shortage of money, which reduces the purchasing power of the money because you have a spread between the money supply and the debt. And, you know, it's interesting, they talk about, you know, doing all these things to keep from having too much money, like sometimes they'll raise interest rates to discourage borrowing and to slow down the creation of money, okay? But just think about it. If there was too much money and they had to raise interest rates to discourage borrowing, why would people with too much money need to be discouraged from borrowing? It doesn't even make any sense. And they do a lot of things about this whole too much money thing don't make any sense. You know, do you ever hear anybody claiming about complaining about having too much money? And they also say, like, you know, when there's too much money out there, all the prices go up, okay, that you have price inflation, right? So why, if you had too much money, and your neighbor had too much, everybody had too much money, why would anybody raise their prices to get too much, to get more of the thing they already had too much of? And the whole controlling the economy to prevent inflation is a lie, and it doesn't work, because the kind of system that creates price inflation is the very one that we have right now.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Well, And that's 100% understandable. When I made the statement that I did, I want to help clarify that people aren't earning wealth with their labor. They're doing the opposite, and people are stealing their labor. And if we use the same currency, but it was based on your labor, that'd be a wealth-based system, and everybody'd be a lot better off. And here we are. We have to buy with our labor a piece of paper representing the debt, only to pay it back, and then we just get further and further and further down that hole that we can't get out of, and it's a sad state of affairs. That's why we need the Transportation Act.
Well, and the other thing too about this too much money thing is that, you know, historically, when they've said there's a problem and people have too much money, but at the same time, all those people that had too much money, they still had debt. Now, if you had too much money, would you have debt? And see, this is another example there of the fraud of teaching that this debt money system helps prevent price inflation. It's the cause of price inflation. And over time, I mean, go back historically and look, the annual costs of living have gone up and up and up. And that'd be fine if your money supply went up and up and up, but it doesn't work that way. The money supply only goes up when someone borrows some more money, but your cost of living constantly goes up because the interest is always growing the debt on the money supply. And you have to account for, I mean, think about it. If you borrow money to have a furniture store and you're going to sell sofas, okay, you know in your mind you got to sell so many sofas to pay back that loan principal, right? But now they add interest to it too. So now you're going to have to charge the price of that interest in your sofas, and that increases the cost of the sofa. And when more borrowing is required to pay the interest, then there's more interest too. And because the debt can never be paid, you can't pay debt with debt and get rid of the debt. The cost of living constantly rises, but it goes far beyond the money supply, and it creates a huge spread. And in that spread is where you lose purchasing power. And we wouldn't have that if we simply created the money and spent it into circulation for something that we all need, use, and benefit from. And the Constitution says Congress is supposed to provide post offices and post roads. So simple thing. Nothing else really changes. Your money would be in coin or paper or digital or checkbook money. And because you don't know, most of you don't know how money gets into circulation now, you wouldn't even know the difference, except that your cost of living would be going down, your taxes would be going down, your ability to save would be going up, and things would be looking better. There'd be a lot more jobs created, a lot more production, a lot more advancement in technological energy systems, because you could build them right in these roads. And also in water purification systems, everybody's harping about the water, right? We got too much, not enough, it's too dirty, they ain't clean, it's polluted, whatever. And you could build those drainage and water purification systems right into the roads. And this would, you create a lot of jobs and good paying jobs. And people to build it, maintain it, designers. So if you really want to have a great America, it's got to be a free America, and it has to be a debt-free America. You can't be free when you're in involuntary servitude. So I'm going to take a break and breathe a little bit. Anybody else got anything to say?
Well, you know, great guy. A few years back, there was a Hollywood movie put out called Idiocracy. And in that movie... in fact, the guy, I just watched an interview by him recently. He said we are way beyond what he has, what was predicted in this movie. But in this movie, people were brainwashed into believing that watering plants was counterproductive, and it actually killed plants and everything and harmed the humans. So everything from agriculture to human activity to pets or whatever, they had to drink a electrolyte drink, kind of similar to Gatorade. And this corporation ran everything, but everybody got diabetes. Everything was, no plants would grow or anything. And along comes this guy, and he proposes this idea to the White House that, hey, you know, the reason we're going backwards is you're poisoning everything. You're damaging society. It needs water. and if people thought he was a moron, and they called him all the names of the book, you know, and but finally he breaks into the water system and has to demonstrate by watering a field of corn that to show that the corn would grow with water. And then finally society woke up, and then the president, you know, appointed this guy to vice president because he was known as so-called the smartest man in the world just because he identified the water, not Gatorade, made everything grow. And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, it sounds like the money system, you know, and it's so simple, and, you know, maybe that's the problem with it. It's just so simple because, to date, it seems like explaining economics, money systems has to be very complicated thing. I think that's how they perpetuate it, is by keeping it so complicated that most people don't even want to talk about it because they don't understand it. And they're willing to leave it up to those who do understand it. And what's happened is that then those people take advantage of the rest of the people. And that's kind of what Byron was talking about earlier in the show, you know, is that, you know, if a private organization was able to create money, would they create it as a benefit to everyone, or would they create it as a benefit to themselves? And I've never seen that movie, Idiocracy. Is it a pretty old movie, or?
It's probably 7 years old. The guy who put the movie out, he's put out quite a few since, but he's the one that created Dumb and Dumber and stuff like that. But he said he recently on an interview said that we are above and beyond what he actually thought we could become. He said and everything in society is going backwards because he said we're being dumbed down everywhere because we can't see the light of truth.
And you know, getting back to this inflation thing too, like in those periods of time when they said that we've had inflation, you know, too much money, during those time periods we still were taxed to pay for social programs to help people that have too much money. See, that doesn't make sense either. And the other thing, during those same periods of inflation where supposedly we're getting to where there's too much money out there, there were people still leaving stores without buying the things that they wanted because they had too much money. And you see, the whole thing's ridiculous, and it's a lie, and it's just a creation to allow the continuance of the current money system. But you can go to wealthmoney.org and you can see a lot of the articles that we've written. You can print them off. There's some books you can print off there also. And there's some of the books not available online. You have to order them like right from Byron. That's Modern Money Secrets, and Down on the Farm, Economic News for Agriculture, Bashed by the Bankers, Byron's Personal Story. That's a great book. You should get it. Really opened your eyes. It opened mine. I couldn't believe something that happened to Byron could actually happen to someone in America. I just couldn't believe it. And we appreciate the fact you listen to Wealth Money Radio, or maybe you listen to archive shows. That's fine. But we'd sure like to hear from you, hear your questions, your comments. Please call into the show and talk, and we'd appreciate that. It might help move this whole idea forward of creating the money as a payment instead of as a debt. And I don't know, Byron.
And also, more people work together to get this done, the more apt we get it done, the faster we can get it done, because it's obviously Greg and I can't do it alone, and even with Drew and many others too, you've got to have people wanting to work together in unity to convince the legislators they need to do this kind of legislature. and you need to write them letters, you need to call phone calls to them, and you get to know them personally. That helps if you get to know your own your legislator personally. That's a problem, too, that hardly is done anymore, because they just campaign on TV, and they don't walk around and talk to people like they used to, and so many times you can't even find where they live or even hardly to talk to them, go to their office. And when you do, you only get 15 minutes to talk to them because they got a lot of other people doing it. But you ought to force them to do more of that than to listen. And if more people did that, then they would have to listen, because that always bring pressure on them, bring results. And people forget that. And with that, I think our time is up for the day. I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank Rule for coming in and sharing with us. And, of course, Greg and I, we work together on this and have for some time, and we put a lot of hours into research, and we have unbelievable amount of letters from Treasury and from congressmen and even the Federal Reserve, and they all agree that they create money as a debt. So we will thank you for, again, listening to the show today, and we'll see you next week.
Greg wants to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Thank you for your support.